I'm just thinking, if we're gonna talk about the JPA revisions and do that, because I was thinking we don't do that three different times, or two different times.
Right.
Right? So maybe if we are gonna have a meeting with the two city councils and the community services district, then maybe that's the time to just say, here's the strategic plan. And part of that is that we need to make modifications to the revisions, because I just don't wanna try and set two different meetings with all three boards.
Okay, then I need to weigh in on that, because I know Rogue Radio over a year ago did our JPA revisions, and that was a very complicated, very, you know, based on the Schedule A and Schedule B that was presented. And so I think I would be more inclined, if we, for that particular exercise, to use our, I don't think we can do it all in one meeting. If the public is there to hear the strategic plan, I think the JPA revisions is more of a administrative level, executive level, related to our board and respective councils. Whereas the strategic plan presentation is really for the community to hear what we've got going on here with the authority. So I hear what you're saying, but I don't think that we're gonna be able to do both of those in one meeting.
Okay.
So certainly and I know scheduling is a nightmare, but I just really wanted to know if Grover Beach had even had a council meeting with JPA revisions on their agenda.
We did. We've had a meeting in Schedule A. I think the council is very supportive of the authority and the chief. And we
Schedule B is going to be tougher.
Schedule B was going to be the tougher.
So would a plan be to have us tackle Schedule B and just refresh on that? And not anything between now and July, but maybe in October, refresh on Schedule B here and kind of take a look at that and see if any priorities have changed. I don't know, you guys. It's been something that you know, we've got to address.
Well,
you know, we've been hearing from, you know, folks about, are the formulas still valid? Are some of the other things that we want to change? So that's why I'm pushing on it.
Okay, so maybe we go back to adopt the final strategic plan, and then staff can come back and make recommendations on community outreach, whether that is a community workshop, or, because if we do that, right?
Yeah.
The board, if the board's there, it's going to have to be, so Brown Act's going to have to be noticed. So I think you guys just going to have to give us some options of how we do that. So the board, we want to adopt this specific plan, and we want to go out and inform the community of what their local fire department's doing.
Yes.
And so we just need to know how best to do that. I'm good with giving the community information. I just don't want the expectation to be, and respect the city councils and the community service district, that they have the ability to give direction and change things that they appointed us to this board to do. Those things.
You're referencing a joint meeting of all three.
No,
bodies,
I'm talking about a community meeting.
Just a community meeting.
A community forum.
Well, community meeting in the context of the business of the FCFA would be required to be a Brown Act noticed meeting, public meeting.
Could I say something? Number one, the OCSD, although people don't believe it, is real busy doing some other challenging efforts right now. And lovingly, we're gonna have to get consideration of the JPA, definitely, but that's gonna go into next year. That's gonna go into the next calendar year, I will guarantee. One of the things that Oceano is waiting on is we are having a study right now to determine if we are still a poor district, what's the word?
Disadvantaged
community. We're on the borderline of being a disadvantaged community. So they are studying our funding, they're also studying our numbers of residents that we have within the community. So we've got that coming down the line, which could change some stuff for the JPA revisions. We also have several other major things, and I'm not sure that my board is as vitally concerned about the strategic plan as they are some rather much larger issues. That's all I'm saying. I'm concerned about it, but I'm just saying there's only so much time, there's only so much energy you can put into everything. And we have agenda packages like this.
Well, obviously, as Member Scholes pointed out, you don't need the approval of any of the member agencies for this body here to approve the strategic plan. I understand why, as a policy matter and a business matter, you would want that, but you don't need it. So for those member agencies that want to participate in either a community outreach program or in terms of a joint meeting, you could certainly do that. You could structure it. We could establish it as under a Brown Act notification for a public meeting. And those that want to participate can show up. Those that don't, to the extent this board gets whatever valid information it needs from those meetings, you can bring that back to this board and make whatever appropriate motions and approvals that you want to make. But you don't need to go to the member agencies for approval.
Yeah.
And thank you for that clarification, because that was really where I was coming from, do the community meeting, and if there's members of my council that want to attend, because they've all seen the strategic plan, if there's members of my council that want to attend the community meeting just to hear what the community has to say, fine and dandy, but it's not going to be, we're not going to be at the dais and formal in that way. Likewise, extend the courtesy and invite to the other members related to that. I'm really more focused on, having a public meeting for the community to, get an update and hear what we've got going on and how their tax dollars are being utilized.
Okay. So give them direction, come back with the final specific plan adoption and then lay out a community outreach plan. And that just involves whether it's one or two community workshops.
All right, so I just have some questions on my direction. I mean, I'm hopeful to have the strategic plan ready for adoption in July. Again, I need to wrestle with some of these classifications and the related compensation for planning purposes. The board adopts the budget, or I'm sorry, the strategic plan, and then community outreach, we can certainly schedule that. I'm just obviously a little concerned, what would the attendance be? What would be the attraction to get people to come to these things? We can certainly schedule it and see how it goes. The other thing I was thinking about as I was listening to the board was we could put that large meeting together and say we're going to spend 45 minutes or so or 30 minutes presenting the strategic plan, have the community, if you're interested in seeing the strategic plan, be at the session, take a recess and come back and have the rest of the discussion.
And that's another to a board meeting. You mean folding into a board meeting?
I didn't think there. I threw that out there as an idea, but I didn't hear any concurrence. So I think so.
Yeah, I think I misunderstood you as far as it being more with council and Oceano, and whereas I was looking for community. So that's on me, John.
It's okay.
I didn't hear you. So if that's the case, then maybe September or October board meeting, we schedule to have that break and have a community forum with the strategic plan and fold that into our meeting.
Well, I'm going to agree with your original concept. I mean, so come back, let's adopt a specific plan. Strategic plan. I'm really falling back into my planning background now. The strategic, we adopt that. We do need to go and figure out a way to inform the community or provide opportunity. So if it's one community meeting, then that's what it is.
Okay.
But the fact of the matter is, you can lead a horse to water, you can't make him drink. And we find this consistently day in and day out. We've been doing this long enough. I mean, look at who's in this room today. Not that I don't like looking at your mugs out there, but there's no one from the, there's no, other than maybe one individual, two from an area with 37,000 folks. So I know people are at work. So if it's an evening community meeting, maybe they are interested in coming. But our job is to provide the opportunity.
Yes, sir.
It's up to them to take advantage of the opportunity. So
yes, sir.
I think that gets to your point, is that we do one, we find a central location. That means the chief's just going to have to give an overview of the strategic plan, and that allows the community an opportunity to ask the experts the question. And if there are members of our respective city councils or the community service district, they can show up and they show up as citizens as well and ask questions.
Well, yeah.
And then we can figure out later what to do with the real tough discussion on the JPA revisions.
I concur. Do you have your direction, Chief?
Yes, bring back adoption of the strategic plan as soon as possible and start planning for a community presentation post adoption of the strategic plan.
Or come and figure out a way and work with the kind of come back, and if you have an idea of what's, you know, how to roll that out, when to roll that out, I think we'd like to hear.
Bring T5 and set it up in front so people draw attention to people.
Cookies didn't work. No,
no, T5 works better.
Oh, T5
as opposed to new 2.
Strategic plan goes back. ASAP board adopts, and then we do
a community. Sit up there and spray a little water, and everybody will come
on. Get a big banner.
You know, you need a banner when you put that
40-foot
ladder up.
This is a board meeting, they're going to adopt
the
strategic plan.
People drive by when they're testing.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. So the attorney's rolling his eyes at me, which a lot of people do.
Well, don't worry. I got my eye on him.
It's
so
just the
you got covered. You got covered.
I understand the concept of Brown Act, okay?
So
yes, sir.
The strategic plan will come back to this board as soon as it's got the components in it for potential adoption, and then once that happens, we will work towards forming, I guess it will fall under the auspices of a special board meeting, which will also be a community presentation at a central location.
Yes.
Does it have to be a special board meeting? Does it have to be a special board meeting or legal counsel? Why can't it be a community forum that says, come learn about your fire department?
It's just a presentation.
Because you have multiple bodies that are all subject to the Brown Act,
all right,
coming together jointly, and because you're doing it, I assume at a time that is other than your regularly appointed meeting dates, there would be a special joint meeting.
You guys worked that out.
Yeah. He just gave you the look, FYI. Anyway.
Okay. I think we've given direction.
Okay, we got it.
This is going to go on your car and your money. And then we can have that tough conversation. I think, Karen, you're right. I mean, the issue of the JPA meeting, you know, Schedule A, we thought was the low-hanging fruit, and then my community council viewed it that way, and we know that the Schedule B is going to be a lot more difficult conversation. I don't know if there's a rush to do that now, especially since there's a budget that's been adopted. So maybe that's something that if we're going to do this year, it's Q1 or 2018.
All right, January. We can get it done right in December, January, so that when we start working on our new 2-year budget in February.
I'll make a note, January 2018.
December.
It's just a suggestion.
December.
Beware.
Yeah.
I think everyone's going to have adopted their budget, so it should be. Anyway, I'm done.
I am too. Thank you for your indulgence. I think Chief is up next for 5 minutes.
Oh, there's more? Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, if you'd like me to proceed with the fire chief report, I can certainly do so.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. I actually have more. I may consider dropping these items because I always seem to have more besides what's defined on the agenda. But let me just kind of go through a list. Obviously, you have the latest activity report in front of you. Still tracking, very status quo. I wanted to kind of brief you on what's going on with the open battalion chief position. That position is posted for an internal recruitment, closing date of June 23rd. The goal is to have an assessment center the week of 7/10 and have the successful candidate on board as soon as possible. Being that this is an internal recruitment, it's going to create some upward mobility within the organization. And as you know, we already did a captain and engineers assessment center earlier this year. And so I anticipate seeing a promotion to captain and a promotion to engineer as well in the very near future.
Hot dog. What was the closing deadline again, Chief?
6/23. I'm going to save the reserve firefighter discussion for last. Go ahead and jump into, actually maybe second to last. The Assistance for Firefighters grant program for the SCBA, still no update. Just wanted to make sure I'd share that with you. Just to quickly talk about Grover Beach and the cannabis ordinances, as Grover Beach allows applications for cannabis-based businesses. The fire department was able to work with the city and obtain a contract with a certified industrial hygienist. And that person really assisted the fire authority in the development of regulations that are kind of above existing code requirements for manufacturing, testing, and cultivation businesses. That draft document will be going to the Grover Beach City Council on the 19th of June. I also continue to track time and associated costs in supporting the special project with the city, and have been sharing that information with the city manager. Check that. Captain Leathers is by you. Yes, while I have Captain Leathers, I'm going to go ahead and jump into the reserve firefighter report. We did start an in-house academy last evening with two new recruits. Based on turnover, promotion, and all the other issues that are identified in this draft PISMO study, I've made the decision to start what's called a continuous recruitment. So instead of waiting and deciding to accept applications for applicants for reserve firefighter, we'll continually take applications. And when we feel it is appropriate, we will schedule interviews and schedule academies. That just gives us more flexibility as we try to support this program. Last week, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we were at depleted staffing levels because we didn't have enough available reserve firefighters. What does that mean? It meant that Oceana was running with its two personnel, MAC Railroad was running with two personnel, and even for a while, Truck 5, Station 1, was running with two personnel. There's obvious safety issues with that, and service level impacts to our communities. Thankfully, Sunday, at about 7 p.m., Captain Tom Huey came in off duty to fill the position of a firefighter at Station 1. So we had a career captain on overtime filling the rank of a reserve firefighter, which we've done in the past for operational need. And a reserve came into Station 2 in Grover Beach because at about 9:45 that evening we had a structure fire. If those folks hadn't been available to come in, it would have been even tougher than it already is on us. And I think I alluded to this earlier, the city of Pismo Beach did contract with a consultant related to their reserve firefighter program. They are trying to eliminate that program because they can't sustain it. And the city manager and council asked for a consultant to take a look at that. That report will be presented to their council on Tuesday. I have seen an early draft of it. There's no surprises. For all the reasons I've shared with you and included in our strategic plan, which is actually featured in that consultant report, this is a non-sustainable program. I do have Captain Leathers here because he's one of our reserve firefighter staffing officers, and I'd like for him to come forward and just kind of give you a bird's eye view of what he faces when he's trying to fill the schedule. Captain Leathers, would you mind? He loves public speaking, by the way.
I'll use the mic.
It's not working.
Good morning, everyone. So yeah, staffing is always a challenge each year or each month. I do all the reserve staffing for all three stations. Depending on months, this month for July, I'll be looking at 93 shifts that need to be filled. And out of those 44, right, as currently with our reserve staffing program, 44 of those shifts are open. So I will need to be backfilling people from our reserve program. They get stretched very thin very quickly. They're on a 2-10 program, which they work 2 on, 10 off. That is what they're scheduled, but that really never happens because we need the people, we need bodies. I am one of those that work at that 2-0 staff station. I've been there since day one. We get through, but it's tough. We'd love to have 3 people there.
And again, we have headcount for 18 reserve firefighters, and we currently have 9.
Yeah. 9 on the books. Roughly, right, or so that actually are doing it.
Yeah, it's a smaller core group. We have one that's in, looks like a very viable candidate for a full-time position in Southern Santa Barbara County. And then obviously with the promotion, we're going to be looking at pulling a reserve into an engineer position, so we'll quickly be at 7 or 6.
It's harder. My question would be, is it harder in the summertime because you've got the summer U.S. Forest Service and whoever else? There's other job opportunities, more job opportunities in the summer.
In the past, it used to be, but now it's every month is a challenge. Mm-hmm. Because it's the same, you know, I have the same amount of people to work with, you know, this month that I did 6 months ago versus, you know, a year ago kind of thing. So,
okay.
So yeah, it's, yeah. In the past, I would say absolutely with, you know, people going on to their another job, Forest Service or Cal Fire, that now it's, most of our guys are committed to our department. So, you know, some of them do have outside jobs, but most of them, you know, the authority as a primary source of income.
Thank you, Brian.
Any other questions? That
no, thank you for that information.
Need full-time people.
Has there been any, I'm also hearing that in general, all communities are having staffing issues related to recruitment. Certainly, police officers are having that difficulty with the nominal raises that were given at the reserve level. Did that really have any impact related to the recruitment for the reserve level, or is it just one of those deals, if you can get full time, then you're going to go for full time and not do reserve?
Right. I think what the raise did was show the reserve program that we valued them and we did what we could for them. But bottom line is, if you have an opportunity to go full-time with full benefits and that schedule and that security, it's truly a no-brainer.
Yeah.
There's things that aren't acknowledged. Yeah. You think about the reserve program and with such high turnover, you think just about today's shift schedule. So you think about Station 2 and what they could be training on with a seasoned crew, so higher level tasks. But with the turnover, you're constantly training at a very low level because you always seem to have a fresher recruit. So there's a lot of things that we can talk about in the future. Anyway, I'll continue on from that positive story. And again, I'll get you the PISMO study as soon as I have it in my hands. Dispatch, as you know, Dispatch has been doing an internal investigation really with a real strong focus on that commercial fire in Arroyo Grande. Chief Peters told me that he's reviewing the document at this time, and we'll be following up once he's finished with his additional comments. He's going to push back down to the commander. I did send him an email when I was in the parking lot here saying it's very likely that the board would be interested in having a report on this issue at a future meeting. More to follow on that. And lastly, I will be traveling to Southern California tomorrow and through the weekend for some family business that I have to take care of, and Chief Heath will be watching out for all of us in my absence. I'll be back Sunday evening. That concludes my report. Oh, it almost concludes my report. Last thing, give you this photo. And actually, John Boba, one of the models, is here today.
Could you stand and be acknowledged?
Can you assume one of these poses, please? So this goes back to, we didn't know the fire department ran 70% call volume, because I can tell you nobody realizes that the fire department will shore a building that's at risk to allow the family to remain in the building. So this is Arroyo Grande. It was an interesting story, but vehicle into the structure, and the building official made an assessment that if we can shore up this wall, the family can stay in the home and then work through a private contractor. So we do have the shoring trailer you've heard of at Station 2, and Captain Bova and Engineer Boyer were able to bring some. John came by and said, what do we have? And then brought some materials and one of our pickup trucks, and we're able to secure this building. So
well done.
This is huge, and nobody ever considers their fire department. When we say it's all risk, what does that really mean? So I just wanted to give that to you so you could share it.
What was the location of that?
That was on Dixon, off of Farrell.
Okay.
And if you saw the newspaper, this was the incident that ended up with a couple of folks being arrested.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was in the newspaper.
No, this wasn't the picture in the fire, in the newspaper to go with the story.
Right. So that truly concludes my report. Thank you.
I do have a couple of questions, if I may. Do we have an acting VC at this time?
We're working through that at this time.
Well, then, I'm sure.
So the answer is no, officially, at this time.
All right, and I say that for obvious reasons, because I know you guys are all shuffling.
So we've got Captain Steve Whitney, who's on modified duty currently, recovering from some surgery. And so he's working in an administrative capacity with us, which has allowed Chief Heath to give him fleet maintenance, and we're working on facility maintenance, and Steve's helping with inspections and everything else. So we do have some administrative support at this time.
Thank you, because, like I said, there's heavy loads everywhere, and I appreciate and also appreciate stepping up to fulfill those duties since we have that vacancy at the VC level. So thank you for that. And then also, I just have some questions about the report, the IA that's being done. I know we can't talk about the IA specifically, but Chief, do you have any idea? I just would like a little bit. I think in dispatch, you know, back to my days, and related to specific duties that dispatch has, you know, related to call volume. So I wanted to know, do you know if there's any, you know, other indirect work related to how maybe I should just tour the facility in Grover related to what else dispatch is doing? So that's the first question. And then the second question, you know, I'm still very concerned about what happened with that commercial fire. And I want to know, has there been any training put into place or any program for training that is in place now, since we're already a month into this thing, regardless of any internal investigation that needs to be done? I respect that, but there's remedial things that should be done right now. As call volume, you know, still continues. And so if you could address those two questions for me at this time related to, besides an IA, what is being done to get this back on track?
So I may need some clarification on your first question. What else are they doing in dispatch? Are you referring to administrative, non-911 processing?
Like you know, I don't know what the structure is. I know it's not uncommon for dispatch, especially on the police end, to be, you know, fielding, starting certain reports. I mean, everything's on the computer, so they can access the computer. They could start backfilling, information related to, you know, traffic incidents or, you know, complaints and actually starting, you know, I call them just the fact sheets coming in. So when the officers have to get down and do the reports, they're on a deadline to get those things out within 48 hours, you know, if they're going to the DA and all of that kind of stuff. So, you know, are they helping with other administrative deals, and is that impacting their ability to train for fire dispatch? You know, what other stuff is impeding this so we're getting what we were promised in our contract?
I will certainly pass that along for that future presentation and ask them to explain that. And being that the dispatch center is on the other side of the wall, we could certainly arrange a tour at our next meeting. Related to training, Chief Heath was in a very long meeting yesterday, and I can certainly have him address that about implementing fire-based training where we've discussed it in the past. But I will say that some changes have been implemented since that fire in CAD, which is computer-aided dispatch, or their software, to mitigate some of the things that happened at the early morning hours of that commercial fire as far as dispatch and resource resources being sent appropriately and things along that nature. Chief, do you have anything to add at this time, or there's just more to follow on the training implementation? Sorry to put you on the spot.
Me too.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Basically, what we're doing right now for dispatch is we've identified some of the shortcomings from that commercial fire. We've added the ambulance as the first out dispatch. Also, we've figured out why that one engine was missed in the initial dispatch, our engine out of Oceano. So that should never happen again. And then we went through the entire response matrix for all the different types of incidents that we respond to. And we made sure all those response matrix were cleaned up and accurate. And both in the book, we have what's called the black book. Mm-hmm. And also in the computer, they made sure that both were accurate with each other. And then as it comes to training, we sat down yesterday and we identified all the different types of training that we expect the dispatchers to have as it's related to fire. And so we have all the curriculum, and I'm going to start putting together all the information that goes behind that.
So look.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Thank you, Chief.
Yeah.
For your additional work.
So let me just jump in here, because I don't want to put anybody on the spot. So I wasn't here, obviously, when you had this discussion. I do understand there's an investigation ongoing. I understand you've said that Chief Peters said he's been given the internal, the results of the internal investigation. He's got comments, and that'll be shared with you, right? So I would say two, maybe three things. Once you're comfortable with that, I would say certainly there's some valid questions raised here that you will ask of the police department is providing us that service. I think I'm fine with that. But I think maybe bring back a comprehensive report to this board that includes the findings of their internal investigation. I would then say, let's identify where there are opportunities to improve the situation if we think we can do that. And then ultimately, we need to have a discussion of, do we continue going down this road, or do we consider another alternative with respect to dispatch? So rather than doing that all and putting you on the spot today, let's do it in a comprehensive, thoughtful manner and maybe come back to the board so we can figure out what it is. Because I have a question regarding that in the internal investigation, do we do root cause analysis? And that, you know, I think we need to do that, not just in this board. And I'm speaking as a board member, not as the mayor of the city that has a police department that's the one providing that service. I'm a board member today. So I would just say come back with the findings and the ways in which you think it can be improved and how to communicate to them, or if we need to say you're not providing us the service we need and we need to consider other options.
Community comment?
Yeah. Well, I don't know
yes.
what to comment on. These PJ. Are our comments.
No, I was saying
okay.
PJ wanted to
say. Thank you, Chair. We've had ongoing discussions with fire management regarding this issue, as was brought up before. We're about a month into post-event. We also had some other events that led up to this, different calls where we share that information with management, with Chief Lieberman as well. One of our concerns has been and always will be the health and safety of our communities, the health and safety of our personnel. I think for us, for an assurance from PD management and for fire management, that they're putting steps in place now that make sure that this doesn't happen again, that whether that training's in place, whether that technology is in place, whether those options are in place. I know we've had ongoing discussions over a period of time about, you know, we were at two dispatch centers, from two dispatch centers to one dispatch center, and we'll be more clear to that one dispatch center. One of the questions that was brought up then was, well, what was the level of training going to be? What was the level of technology going to be? What were the systems going to be in place to have them truly be a public safety answering point, not just a law enforcement answering point, but a public safety answering point. Emergency medical dispatching, or E&D, you know, technology, CAD, automatic vehicle location system, maybe it's a larger, broader concept and context. But again, from the health and safety standpoint, when our membership roll out the door, we want to make sure that we've got that backing, that they're trained, that it's efficient, and that they're ready to go. We have some hesitation currently now, that we're not quite sure that that's where we are right now, based on the letter that we provided to you and the board and the fire chief. And that continues today until we hear something concrete back, that steps have been taken to make sure that we're where we need to be. Because at the first that's the first link in our chain. That's the first link in our chain. And again, for us to provide that level of service, we need to make sure that that's a solid link in our chain. Thank you.
That's where we're going. Yeah. Okay. I have one other fire chief.
Yeah, and I have one other question related to the reserve.
Okay, well, I was just going to ask if we had the cause on that fire in that two-story home last Sunday. We had a cause on that one. And my question is, that's a track of homes. If there was an issue in that home, that could be an issue in the rest of the homes in that. That's just...
So it's on Victorian Court off of Farrell. Still under investigation. We have some thoughts. The building official was brought out to look at the structure, obviously to make sure that whether it was safe for the folks to stay in or not, and it was not. But the building building official did take a look at some of the structural elements of that home and is doing some follow-up.
Thank you. So you're following up on. Thank you. That was my question.
Last question for me. Anything remedial besides doing the ongoing call for recruitment for reserve firefighters? Is there anything remedial that can be done with our 9 on the books, 8 active reserves related to any kind of staffing, any kind of creative? I know it's not a situation where you can bring in, you know, extra help people on something like this, you know, but is there any other creative option since we're not ready to move on, you know, reserve going to, you know, full time? Is there any other option that has been discussed related to, you know, I don't know, do we all have to go camp out at the fire academies? And I mean, you're probably already doing that, but I'm just really concerned that we don't really have an answer for the authority related to the concerns about our staffing issues, and didn't know if there's any creative way that we could be adding bodies, except what you're doing.
I wish I had a really creative solution to share with you. I think we've already gone down that road by creating the 210 program, mm-hmm. which is allowing reserves to share a shift and gives them the opportunity to go find other work. I do want to share that when we interview prospective candidates, if they're working on a hand crew for a Forest Service or other organization, we tell them they have to pick. They can't be doing both. So if they come on board with us, they know we have them during the summer months. Ms. Harmon, I just think we're watching the death spiral of a program, and we're not alone. This PISMO study, when you see it, I think it'll be pretty enlightening, and you'll definitely know that we don't stand alone. We do go to the Fire Academy and talk to each class. We do get a stack of interest cards, and so today, Aaron and Tricia will be sending an email now that we've moved to continuous recruitment to see if that person that gave us an interest card 6 months ago is still in the market. But I will tell you, with the tail end of the boomer retirement, opportunity is out there for full-time work that hasn't been. So it's a tough one. And I think that's why you saw Tascadero go to full-time firefighters.
Yeah, great. Just continue to monitor the situation. Obviously, if we are critical, or you'll come back to the board and we'll have to make some tough decisions.
We were critical last week, but yeah. Thank you for the comment. Yeah.
All right. We hear you, and we're here for you. Let us know.
Thank you.
General counsel?
Nothing today.
Okay, board communication?
No, I think I've had my share. Thank you.
I just have one thing that we may all need to know.
I didn't want to go.
Yeah, they had the bid openings last week, county for the 13th Street and Highway 1 flood repair project, which of course really impacts Oceano Station. And all the bids came out over, and they threw out the whole thing.
Okay.
And they will do bids again and hope to maybe start the project in 2018. So we're going to have another winter.
Hey, I heard Supervisor Compton got a ton of money to come to District 4. You might need somebody to call her and tell her share some money with Oceana.
You mean Oceana that has no parks? You're rubbing it in?
I'm not rubbing it in. I'm not rubbing it in. I'm saying
$2 million for parks.
I'm saying she's your District 4 representative, and if you need if you need me and anyone else to lobby, then I think that's an issue that needs to be done. I'm saying that's a fact, that she works for you all, and she's getting money for parks, and she's not getting money for something as critical as this. Someone needs to get in her grill.
The county is going well, and how much are we spending for sustainable water? But let's not go into that one either. But they're looking for more grants. They're looking for money. They do not have enough money. So you know, Oceana, when you guys get a call, don't go down Highway 1 if it's raining. Go out the back door, go around 13th Street, come around to Halcyon by Farrell, and, you know.
I'm serious. I wasn't being facetious.
Oh.
You know, let's talk offline. I don't know if there's anything I can do to assist. I'm already busy.
It's, you know, Oceana, we had $109,000 that we had given the county as our good front money, because we have to pay to move all of our utilities that are in that zone. Now, the county and the state, it's Caltrans Road. Caltrans is building it with the county, but we have to pay for moving all of our utilities, Oceana. Like, it's $200,000. Wow. When the bids got thrown out, we were a piece of that bidding. We have to go separately. This is one of the things I said we're busy about. We have to go separately to move our utilities, somehow linking into whenever the hell they decide to build the road. Well, you know, they talked about it in 2014, 2015, 2016, and it's not going to get to be any more than a hazard. And I don't know when it's going to wash out completely.
Yeah.
You know?
I have one last item.
Yeah.
You could end it on a more
happy time.
Family-friendly opportunity. On July 16th at the summer concert series in Ramona Gardens, that's from 3 to 6 p.m., Friends of Five Cities Fire Authority will be there with the booth to spread goodwill and cheer, not of the alcohol medicinal variety, but to promote the 501c3 foundation for Friends of Five Cities Fire Authority. We're going to do a concert in July and see how that goes, and we will return on September 10th for another concert series, and at that event then we will be promoting the October 7th fire prevention event at Elm Street Park. For the fire authority, and teaming up with some ideas. We're talking about a pancake breakfast October 7th. We're putting that together, so we'll keep the association informed and everyone informed. But come out for a good band called Steppin' Out on July 16th and enjoy a little summer fun.
Thank you.
Should
I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.